Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our devotion in the sermon this morning is recorded in John chapter 5, reading there verses 19 to 30. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, before whose judgment seat we will all appear on that great day. It is a common thing for a business to be handed down from father or mother to sons and daughters. I believe most of us are acquainted with the commercials by the Hare sisters for their father's Chevrolet dealership. Very often we see on the side of a truck, Mr. Smith and Son, or and Sons. What might we correctly assume by those things? Well, when a business has been handed down from one generation to the next, we might well assume that as we would have been treated or were treated by the older generation, that we will receive the similar treatment or the same treatment from the next generation. There's a degree of confidence that when we are dealing with the one, we are dealing with the other. As background for our sermon, in the section just before the words that I read to you, Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath day. And the Jews attacked him for that, for breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus' response to them was, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." His point was that God never takes a day off. God's mercy and God's love to that crippled man was shown, and God the Father did not worry about what day of the week it was. And so I didn't worry either. Doesn't matter to me. That man needed love and he needed help, and I want to manifest myself as the Son of God. So I healed that cripple on the Sabbath. When the Jews heard that, they were incensed because they accused Jesus then of blasphemy. They didn't miss for a minute what Jesus was claiming. Did you get it? Jesus was saying, my Father works every day, God, and I work every day like my Father because I am God with him. For this reason, they tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus, the Son's rightful claim of equality with the Father, sets the table for the theme of our sermon on this second Sunday in Last Judgment. The Father has entrusted all judgment to his Son. First, so that all would recognize that and honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And secondly, to show that the Son's judgment, that his action agrees with the Father's judgment, and thereby is done only to seek his Father's pleasure. We know, don't we, that Jesus had another father for the years that he was here on earth. Joseph was Jesus' adoptive father. He was Jesus' legal father. Joseph was a carpenter. He taught his son the trade. Everything that Jesus, who was called a carpenter in the Bible, learned about carpentry, everything he knew, all the quality of his work, done well, done on time for the price agreed. He learned all that from his father, Joseph. The people knew that when you were dealing with Jesus, that you were going to get the same good work that you would get from his father. Because Joseph had taught him. Joseph had handed that trade down to his son to use. And so, whatever Jesus did as the son of Joseph as a carpenter, he did to show people that he had learned that and received that from his earthly father. We see here that this is also true of his heavenly father. Everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said, all the love, all the actions, all the grace, all the power that Jesus, the Son of God, manifested during his life, he did that not by himself, not on his own, but he had received that from his Father. And so whenever he did something, when he healed, when he forgave, when he loved, that was the Father doing that through him. And Jesus said, you have seen me do my Father's work. The Sabbath doesn't mean anything to us. The Sabbath was made for you. That doesn't apply to us. But you've seen me do my Father's work by healing this cripple. And you're going to see even greater works of my Father through me. You're going to see things that are going to make you be in awe of God. And that thing would be the first resurrection. The first resurrection is what we experienced, most of us, if not all of us, when we were baptized. Or later, when we became Christians through the preaching of God's Word. The first resurrection that the Revelation talks about is our resurrection from unbelief to faith. It's our resurrection from spiritual death to spiritual life. Jesus says that is the work of God. That is the work of my Father, to bring men back to life, to bring men back to spiritual life by giving them faith. And I too will do that. When Jesus preached the word, the Holy Spirit would bring people to faith through that word. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all in agreement with each other, carried out that work of bringing people into faith. And because of that, Jesus says that his Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Jesus never acted on his own. He used the power and the majesty that he had as a human being, which he received from God, and which he possessed eternally as God, to do the works that his Father had sent him into the world to do. When you and I receive that first resurrection, when the Son gives us life, which is the Father giving us life, we already have eternal life. Jesus says that whoever believes in me doesn't face judgment. The judgment's already taken place, because God judges us not guilty of our sins. God judges us now to be his children, the brothers and sisters of Christ. And so we already have eternal life. Jesus said, whoever hears my words and believes in the Father and me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. God has entrusted that judgment of the first resurrection, to his Son. And the Son continues in that, as Jesus, our perfect prophet, continues through the church to preach God's word, by which the Holy Spirit continues to give new life where there was spiritual death. By honoring the Son as God, we also honor the Father who sent him. Jesus said, if you don't honor the Son, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, one with the Father and the Spirit, then you do not worship God. And that is why the Bible judges that Unitarian cults that deny the Trinity deny God. They don't worship God. They don't believe in God, because they don't recognize and confess that Jesus is one with the Father. They don't honor the Son as they honor the Father. And so the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that we see Jesus carry out in bringing about that first resurrection, in which we have eternal life now. Pardon me. In which we escape judgment. In which we now live and move and have our being, as the Apostle Paul told the Athenians. But Jesus' judgment will take place in another way as well, as he represents the Father. And here particularly the Father says, I'm not going to be involved in the judgment. But my Son, my eternal Son, who is also the Son of Man, he is going to be the judge of the world on Judgment Day. This is the second Sunday in end time, where we talk and think about the last judgment, when God destroys the universe with blazing fire, and God's holy angels gather all people from their graves and from the seas and from the air into which their ashes have been spread and scattered to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The day when all who are living, perhaps us, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and all will stand before that judgment seat of Christ. When all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. I realize that sounds decidedly un-Lutheran and unbiblical, but I'll explain it in just a second. This is the second resurrection, the one-time general resurrection and changing of all humanity. And all humanity will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And no one will be able to argue with that judgment. No one will be able to barter a change in that judgment. No one will escape that judgment. Because Jesus says, I will judge justly. I will judge in righteousness. God the Father gave this position to his Son. And notice that the Holy Spirit, Jesus uses the term Son of Man. Jesus is the judge because he is the Son of Man. He is the one who placed himself under the law to obey it perfectly and did. He is the one who then offered that holiness and that righteousness in the all-atoning payment sacrifice, full payment sacrifice for sin on the cross. He earned that righteousness. He gives that righteousness to us through faith by the Spirit. And so it is only right that he be the one every human being must face and stand before in judgment. The only basis of judgment will be faith in Jesus as your Savior or unbelief. And here is where those words come in. When you are an unbeliever, everything you do is evil. Everything you do is wicked because you do it without being covered by the righteousness of Christ through faith. Those are the manifestations, the visible actions of unbelief. And so, Jesus says, I will see and I will hear those actions and those words and those thoughts of unbelief. And whoever has done those evil works will be condemned, will be sent to hell. But then interestingly, Jesus said, for us who are covered by the righteousness of Christ, there won't even be any condemnation. There won't even be any judgment because it's already taken place. Through faith, we are possessors of the justification that Jesus won for the world on the cross. And Jesus will say to us and to all believers, well, there's no judgment for you because you're like me. You're covered in my blood. You're covered in my holiness. You trust in me. Come and join me on my Father's right hand. The Father bases judgment solely on Christ's righteousness and not our own. And that fits in, doesn't it, with our sermon last Sunday, that we are not justified by works, but by faith alone in Jesus Christ as our Savior. But Jesus, when he makes this judgment, does it in agreement with his Father. His Father said, I accept your righteousness. I accept that through faith in you, these people will spend eternity with me in heaven. And if they don't believe in you, then I'm going to cast them away from me for eternity. And so, son, when you make your judgment on that basis, you have my full support. You have my full agreement. You and I are one in that judgment of all mankind. That judgment is just, it is unarguable, it is revocable. And that's why Jesus, the Son's judgment, will please the Father. Dear friends, last judgment is nothing to fear for you or for any Christian. On that great day, we're not going to be standing there waiting for Jesus to decide what he's going to do with us or why he's going to do it. We're going to be in heaven with him because his judgment has already taken place on the cross, in our baptism, in the Lord's Supper, when we hear the gospel. The Holy Spirit will keep us in that righteousness till that day. It's not when God finally or arbitrarily decides our end. It's not that we have to wait till then to find out whether or not we're going to go to heaven, to finally know for sure whether we'll have eternal life or not. We already have eternal life. There is no condemnation, no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all desire our salvation. And they have all worked in harmony and unity to bring about that salvation. In the first resurrection of our being brought to faith, and when we hear Christ's voice in the second resurrection, and God will unite us and our glorified bodies with all the saints triumphant. We will hear more and experience more about those saints triumphant either next week or hopefully sometime before. Amen.